In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. So today is the 11th Sunday of Luke. It's also known as the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers, which is always celebrated in our liturgical calendar 2 Sundays before the Nativity. And then next Sunday is the Sunday of the Holy Fathers, with the great feast of the Nativity in this year would be the next day, a week from Monday. And the gospel lessons that we hear, actually the gospel lessons we started to hear in November, but certainly this week and next week, excuse me, and the intervening days that are leading up to the Nativity prepare us. They prepare us, hopefully our souls and our hearts, for the coming of Christ, for the Incarnation. Now, I know that all of us really have begun our own preparations, the things that we do in our homes, the things that we do for our families, the things that we do maybe in our schools and in our businesses with the plays and the pageants and the parades and all those different things that kind of bring to mind what's happening in this season. The weather turns colder, busier in the malls, the traffic gets heavier. All these different things kind of reflect about what's happening in our secular world. However, I hope that you've also noticed there's a change that's occurred in our church, in the liturgical, the ecclesiastical life of our church. We have already begun ourselves by fasting in the Nativity fast, beginning with November 15th. The calendar of the church has changed. The gospel lessons, as I mentioned, have changed. The hymns and the services have changed. Even the vestments that we wear change to reflect the season where we are. And all these things direct our attention, or hopefully direct our attention, to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is important for us to realize, however, that our participation in the Nativity of our Lord is fulfilled not by the clothes that we wear or the events that we attend or even the pageants that we hold, though those are all nice and wonderful. Our participation in the Nativity and the birth of our Lord is fulfilled in the reception of the Eucharist, of His body and His blood, in particular on the Feast of the Nativity, and in our participation in the liturgical services that prepare us for this feast. So while all these other events, as I mentioned, help to capture the spirit of the season, they are really secondary to the liturgical experience and expression of the church, because they offer for us our opportunity to worship the incarnate God, God becoming man, and to express our thanksgiving and our gratitude to Him for the supreme gift of His Son, rather than just providing for us a merely entertaining way to observe this season. That's the difference. As Christians, our Nativity celebration focuses on worshiping the God who took on our human nature to bring us into His eternal kingdom. Other celebrations are more focused on us and our enjoyment of the holiday season. And while there's nothing wrong with these things, they are indeed quite secondary to our liturgical celebration, especially the celebration of and the participation in the Nativity liturgy. So as we make our preparations for the coming of Christmas, just a week and a day away, the church asks us today, and that's why we hear this gospel message, asks us, where are we in our preparations for the coming of Christ? Furthermore, let us ask ourselves then, why is it that we have this particular gospel reading about the Great Supper 2 Sundays before the Nativity? What is the church trying to teach us? And why do we remember the Holy Forefathers today? What are these things here for us? It is hard, rather, to explore all the aspects of this reading. We cannot but scratch the surface truly of what this parable means in our Christian life. But it is here primarily because one cannot celebrate a feast without being prepared, both in the temporal sense and in the eternal sense, both the host and the guest. The host sets the time. The host prepares the location where the feast or the party will take place. They prepare the food, the decorations, the music, everything preparing for that event. And the guest, those of us who are guests to these parties or these feasts, prepare ourselves in the clothes that we wear, making the necessary preparations to take care of other obligations that we have, knowing where and what time the feast or the party will take place. How many of us would pass up an invitation to enjoy a great feast or a party? I don't think many of us would. So then how much more should we make the necessary plans and moral preparations to attend the Messianic banquet? How many of us will pass on the invitation to partake in the Lord's feast, His Eucharist? How many of us will be too tired or too busy, too preoccupied with the temporal celebrations that I mentioned, to come and worship the Christ child on Christmas Day? In stark contrast to this, the parable of the great feast that we heard today tells us of sins to avoid, of attitudes to avoid. It tells us to wake up. It tells us to be ready. It tells us to be truly prepared. I also mentioned that we commemorate the Holy Forefathers today, because indeed they, the men and women coming before Christ, were part of the preparation for the incarnation. Jesus Christ, because He was born of a woman, was of their lineage. Their prophecies and piety prepared the way for the coming of Christ. That was part of the plan of our Heavenly Father. And we Orthodox Christians, we never forget from whence we came. That is why we remember the histories and the genealogies, the men and women that came before Christ, that came after Christ. Even in our families, we remember them. We remember those who have preceded us, those indeed who are joined to us in piety and in faith and in the struggles of life. We never, ever feel disassociated from our history. So the message for us that we take from this gospel reading is that if we do not take the time today and the remaining days, this week and this year, or even in our life, to prepare ourselves spiritually for the coming of Christ, we will truly and indeed miss it. We may even come to church, but we will miss the miracle of the incarnation. Saint Gregory, the dialogist, who was living in the 6th century, late 6th century, said some marvelous, powerful, and even convicting things about this parable. And I'd like to share a few of these with you at this time. He said, there are two kinds of hunger in the world. There is carnal hunger, a natural hunger. Every one of us has it. These sins are all of carnal type things. Wanting money or wealth, indulging in the pleasures of life, or even in illicit things. Eventually, the indulging in carnal pleasures leads to satiety and even revulsion. A man who gorges himself with food will eventually pull away from the table and will not want food for a long time. It is the same, really, with any other kind of pleasure. We get tired of it. We have enough of it. Spiritual hunger is much different than this. It takes a longer time to develop a palate for spiritual things. The sweetness of the Lord is so sweet that He is too sweet for us until we have lived the Christian life for a period of time and struggles. And then He becomes so sweet that all we want to do is taste of Him. In the beginning, this food appears bland or even unpalatable to us. We must learn to continually strive to taste of the Lord, to taste of spiritual things, even though they might not appear to us to be so pleasurable compared to the enticements of this world. If we do this, surely the Lord will enlighten us, and He will become sweet to us, and we will want nothing else besides the Lord. Men barter carnal things over and over for their salvation. An honest man realizes that he does this too, even if only on a small scale. So I tell you again, the clarion bell has sounded. The final preparation for the nativity. We must make ready. We must consider within ourselves, do we have a field or a yoke of oxen or a family member that we are paying more attention to than the Lord? I speak in spiritual terms, of course, he says. If we are, it is endangering us to turn down his invitation. I tell you, these people who said they did not want to come to the supper did not even know what they were turning down. They were too taken with what they were doing at the moment. They did not know that they were rejecting our Lord permanently. For I say unto you, the gospel says, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. For many are called, but few are chosen. He speaks of the men that are bidden that did not obey the call. And yet he tried to compel them by showing them goodness and grace and mercy. And they did not listen because they were concerned about their property or their pleasures or their pride. They were concerned about everything save holiness and sanctity and blessedness. These are powerful words, and yet they are condemning words. They give us hope indeed that God will save us because we see how much He cares. We see how much He pursues us. They also show that we will have no excuse if we do not obey His call in the end. Who are those that are called? Who is He calling? He's calling every one of us. Every man, every woman, every child. Every one of us here today. Who are the chosen? Those are chosen who obey the call. We can decide, if we are of the chosen. Or we can decide if we are not. It is our decision. And although the Lord desires to compel us, He will not force us. But if we live the Christian life with care, we will be compelled to obey, to follow Him. It will not be possible for us to do anything but express and offer our love for our Savior and be pleasing to Him. So then, we must, as Christians, struggle to feel, to live in all ways compelled to love the Lord. In every way, in everything, in every word, in every action, to love the Lord. Now, we have a few days left this year, a little over a week. So let us continue our preparation. Not just our preparations at home, but our preparations here in our Christian life. Let us hope that despite our failings, in light of our Savior's great love for us, that He will enlighten us, that He will give us strength, that He will give us His mercy, that He will make us able to see Him, that He will help us with whatever struggles that we encounter. Because I tell you, I say to you, All of our failings are trivial compared to His mercy that He offered us in His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask you, and I leave you with this today, respond to His invitation and come to the feast. Amen.